What you are about to hear is a labor of love. Our love is for the music, and music is for the people. We at Rock Strikes 10 and CNJRadio.com have always recommended that any music we promote on our shows be legally purchased, downloaded, and/or streamed. We feel this way not only for our network of shows, but for all music-based shows. By supporting the artist in this way, more music can be created and the industry as a whole can prosper. The music is owned by their respective labels or hopefully the artists themselves. This broadcast is owned by CNJRadio.com. Our only mission is to promote the music we love and promote the legal purchase of it. Enjoy the show and turn it up.
Welcome to Rock Strikes 10!
Welcome to Rock Strikes 10, the show guaranteed to always give you 10 songs, no more, no less. My name is Joey. I want to thank everybody for tuning into the show here today, especially if you're doing it at the central station of CNJRadio.com. Okay, it is now time for a big epic four-parter, basically continuing on with our massive look back at the year 2001. We just did three episodes of the odds and ends of 2001. Now we're moving on to the top 40 albums of 2001, according to me, myself, and I. Joey, come along with me, won't you? You might be asking yourself, Joey, it is now 2022. Where is the music of 2021? Well, I will answer that question at the end of this countdown. Yes, by that I mean four episodes from now at the very end. Okay, moving on here. Before we get to album number 40, let me clear off some of the notes and just some of the things I want to go over before we get to the top 40, because hopefully I will surprise you before I even play my very first song here on the show tonight. Stuff you will not be hearing on the top 40 of 2001. Let's start off with the bottom five. The five worst albums of 2001, according to me. Some of these probably won't shock you unless you think that I just hold my favorite artists on like this huge high pedestal and they can do no wrong. In a couple of instances, you will learn that I don't believe that to be true. But the bottom five albums in no particular order are Radiohead's Amnesiac, Savatage's Poets and Madmen, Judas Priest's Demolition, Aerosmith's Just Push Play, and Prince, The Rainbow Children. Those are the bottom five. Those are the five worst albums I listened to here while compiling this list of 2001. About half of those I already had my mind made up about them a long time ago, but I gave them a fresh listen and they're still terrible. Yes, I love Aerosmith and I love Prince, of course, especially, but in 2001, they both put out their worst albums of their entire career. Avoid these at all costs. I'll say two good songs, tops, and I'm being nice. Once again, before we get to number 40, and giving the countdown a big old jump start here, I'm going to name you all the rest of the albums you will not hear on the countdown. Now, these I don't hate. They either are a little over half good or three quarters good. So I'm just going to list the artists for sake of time. Megadeth, Gorillaz, Human League, Lenny Kravitz, White Stripes, Tool, Superchunk, Slipknot, Saxon, Him, Toadies, Huey Lewis in the News, Guided by Voices, Static X, Therapy, Anti-Flag, The Damned, Bruce Kulick, Entombed, They Might Be Giants, The U.S. Bombs, Tiger Army, Neurosis, Crowbar, Ozzy Osbourne, Jimmy Eat World, Rocket from the Crypt, No Doubt, Biohazard, Dropkick Murphys, and Alice Cooper. Yeah, I almost put Alice in at number 40. Just to have him on the countdown, but I gotta be honest here, it's an okay record. I like about half of Dragontown. So yes, already starting off here with Big Shock Radio, Alice Cooper will not be on this countdown. Okay, let's get to album number 40. Now, some people may not like this entry, but I promise that this is a stellar list of records here. This is just where they all landed here. So coming in at number 40 is a band that I like, and I have played them on the show before. They're a little divisive, but I think they got a great sense of rock and a little bit of heavy metal. Of course, they're labeled as a pop-punk band or a skate-punk band, whatever you want to call them. But yes, Sum 41 with All Killer, no filler released. Let me get my little wiki window out here. Just for the stats, not the opinions. So yes, released on May 8th, 2001. Produced by Jerry Finn, who is predominantly a, pop-punk, skate-punk producer. And, you know, honestly, at this time, I was not a fan of Sum 41. I saw the video for Fat Lip. I thought it was humorous. I thought they were being ironic in any of their, you know, like, spoken love about heavy metal and stuff like that. And I never really bought into it. But if you really listen to this album, you hear a lot of nuances of, hey, these guys aren't kidding around with their love of hard rock and heavy metal. And I like the way they insert a lot of it into this particular style of music. As their career would go on, they would do it even more so. At this point, I think they are just a hard rock band, metal band, with a little bit of punk. The attitude is still there for sure. But yeah, this is them still super duper young. These pimple-faced young Canadian boys that just want to put on some guitars, play some drums, yell at the top of their lungs, and be a band. So hey, there's nothing wrong with that, man. I dig the songs for the most part on this record. Like I said, we're in about the three quarters good section still. If you like this stuff, give it a chance. I still recommend all the subsequent albums a lot more than this one, honestly. But like I said, there's some good stuff on this record. Proof Positive right here. We're going to kick things off with this track right here. Not Fat Lip, even though that is fun. We're going to go with this one right here, a more traditional rock song. This one is called Nothing on My Back.
Of sympathy. Nothing on my back. There's still enough to win the gem. I'm on the path to track. Cause when I'm talking, I'll be down. Matter of his fact, it's honest to when you're around. Nothing on my back. I can't help but drown.
Kicking off the top 40 albums countdown here of 2001. That was Sum 41 with Nothing on My Back from the album All Killer, No Filler. Who would have thought it? 20 years ago, I would have said, no way that's making my countdown. But I'm here to say today, yes, it is on the countdown at number 40. But hey, just cracking the top 40. I promise this countdown to be an excellent, excellent listen. So stick around here. Coming in at number 39 we have another rock band with a lot of punk leanings, youthful and all that kind of stuff, but from Canada over to the other side of the pond in the great old UK with Ash. There's a band I don't play too much on Rock Strikes 10, but a really cool band. They've been around since the mid-90s, as far as I know. They first got my ear, I think it was on their first album, with a song called Kung Fu, which I always thought at the time was just called Jackie Chan, but then later on the Dolly Rots would have a song called Jackie Chan, but they had a song on their first album, I believe it was, called Kung Fu, and that's where I first heard them. Cool band, man, and they really have some cool records. Proof positive right here with album number 39 called Free All Angels. Came out on April 23rd, 2001, produced by Owen Morris, who does a lot of European acts, the Fratellis as well, great band as well. But yeah, I really enjoyed this. I did not listen to this album when it first came out. I wish I had now listening to it, preparing for the countdown for this year, and it cracked the top 40 here. So yes, enjoy this right here. There's a handful of really cool songs on this record. You know, it's not a top-to-bottom perfect record, but I'm going to play you a song that I think might get your ear on it. So here you go. This is Ash, and the song is called Shark. Well, so far, I have yet to hear a song, as far as I know, with the title Shark in it, and I not dig it. So, prove me wrong out there, people. But yeah, keeping the streak alive. That was Ash right there with Shark from their album Free All Angels. Hope you enjoyed that. Moving over here to album number 38 on the top 40 albums of 2001 with Seven Dust. Now, at this time, in 2001 when this album came out. Their third album here, Animosity, which was released on November 13, 2001, produced by Ben Gross. Getting back to my story, at the time when this album came out, I actually didn't listen to the whole thing. I was a big Seven Dust fan. Those first two records, I love them. They were one of my favorite new bands, you know, going into the new decade, the new millennium. I met them on their first album, super cool guys. And, you know, by the time this third album came out, I got a little disenchanted with them. And honestly, like, I remember working, every one of these stories of me listening to the record is pretty much going back to my old job at CD Warehouse. So I put on the CD and I made it past two songs and I turned it off. And those two songs did not grab me. At that point, I was like, man, I guess they're done making good music. And the other thing that put me off of them at the time is that I remember, like, kind of wanting to go see them live. And I always thought that they were just on tour with, like, the worst bands of the time. All the worst new metal bands that were coming out at the time, they were all touring with them. And I was like, I guess the boringness of those bands rubbed off on them. That was my opinion at the time. If I'd have stuck with that record after two songs, I would have realized the album would have gotten better. And I could have just skipped those two songs, move on to like track three or four, and get on to a pretty damn good record. So this record here, Animosity, I like it pretty well now. The middle section especially is gold. And, you know, between this and, you know, their latest album doing really well on my albums countdown for 2020, you know, I guess I need to reassess and reevaluate their entire catalog. They must have some more good records that I just missed out on. So until then, check this one out from the album Animosity. This is Seven Dust with Shine. We'll be right back. I realize some of you out there may not be fans of the nu metal, and honestly, I'm not either, but if you take that style of music, which can be a little monotonous at times, but when you throw that stuff in with a great singer like LaJon Witherspoon, man, that's a good recipe in my opinion, and just the perfect amount of aggression and melody. So there you have it, Seven Dust with Shine from the album Animosity. Hope you enjoyed that. Speaking of great voices, moving on to a veteran act here in 2001. On September 24th, 2001, this guy right here, Glenn Hughes, released what was his 8th studio album at the time, but he had done a ton of other records before this. 8 studio albums is nothing compared to his body of work at this point. Glenn Hughes was not even remotely on my radar at this point in 2001, so this is definitely a listen that I had for the first time basically this year. Full disclosure, I love Glenn Hughes now. I think he's one of the great voices of all time and just has all the respect in the world for me, for a guy that still has a career and has had such a long career and managed to like still sound hungry. Even at this age, whatever age he's at right now is kind of ancient, honestly, but he's still bringing it. He's the man. I definitely really enjoyed listening to this album right here, Building the Machine. Nothing really wrong with it at all. It's not perfect, but, you know, hey, man, Glenn Hughes, very consistent, let's say. And if you're a Glenn Hughes fan, of course, I'm assuming you are a fan of his work with Deep Purple, which was one of the first big, big things that he did. He does do a cover, a re-recording, whatever you want to call it, of a Highball Shooter from Stormbringer. That was nice to hear on there. He also does a fun version of I Just Want to Celebrate, the Rare Earth hit, you know. So, yeah, it's a fun record, like I said. I'm going to play you this one right here. This one grabbed me right away. This is the kickoff track from the record. This is called Can't Stop the Flood.
We'll be right back.
pretty much always count on Glenn Hughes just building up to the launch, where his vocals just go into like full flight mode. And I always love listening to the buildup right there and just, you know, boom, right there. Yeah, there you go. Glenn Hughes with the number 37 album of 2001 right there. And that was the song Can't Stop the Flood. Moving over to album number 36, another British act right here. A band I recall that did pretty well in the Best Albums of 1990 countdown. Their rookie year was in 1990, and in 2001, they put out their third studio album. You know, and this was actually the year they got back together. They broke up after their first two records, had their comeback here in 2001. So officially, on July 16th, 2001, the Choir Boys, or the London Choir Boys, put out This Is Rock and Roll. Yes, that's the name of the record. A bold statement. But they definitely understand the great traditions of bluesy hard rock and roll. This album was produced by CJ Erickson. This was another one where I didn't hear it when it came out, and I only just recently listened to this for the first time ever, thanks to my good friend Gary out there in Houston, the king of glam rock, Gary Rothwell. Thank you so much for sending a copy over. It's very, very nice of you, sir. And it paid off, like I said, coming in here at number 36, Choir Boys, the album This Is Rock and Roll, and here is my current favorite song off of this record. Simple enough, it's just called Come On.
Change my favorite
I believe it was Gene Simmons that said one time, he was referring to guys like Dickie Barrett and Lemmy, sometimes the singers that sound like they gargle with razor blades are sometimes the best ones for some reason. And I agree with that statement. And a Spike from the Choir Boys is one of those guys. He sounds like Rod Stewart, like really, really cracked out, and I love it. So there you go. Come on, by the Choir Boys from their album, This is Rock and Roll. And I actually have a sponsor right here, so if you don't mind indulging me, I know everybody, every podcast has commercials. But bear with me here. This will be just 30 seconds of your time. I'll be right back with you while we pause for this sponsor right here, preparing for album number 35.
Get ready. Biggest tour ever sponsored by Budweiser, McDonald's, IBM, Viacom, and JVC. Presents Crew Keith the Spank Master Tour. All personalities will be there. Starring opening acts, Barbara Streisand, the Jackson 5, with Randy, Sir Elton John, the Doobie Brothers, Patti LaBelle, just added on Gloria Estefan, Kenny Rogers with special guests, Garth Brooks, Mr. Entertainment, Cool People with a 6-hour special light naked show, tickets on sale at the Gucci store, P.F. Chang restaurants, Ticketmaster, Ticketron for the 4th of July bash, come celebrate with fireworks, cancel all small tours, be there!
Back in the 70s, it was all about drugs.
Tie my arm up at night between shows, taking soda tops off of soda pops. I used to be up all night in the living room, smoking a lot of weed with the four tops, making collect calls back home to my pops. My little brother said, "Keith, you need to stop." I knew something was wrong when I gave away my VHS and sold a pair of my socks. The IRS calling me, getting on my nerve, I was warned by Red Fox. My girl,
"If you see my timer rings in the jury box."
I don't know, last night you and Shaka Khan was in here sniffing blow. I was in the room sweating, thinking about the rent, playing bingo. The landlord said the first of the month, we gotta go. Packed up my bag and met down Strawberry and more. I told James Brown, stop smoking angel dust in the piss store. He wanted to go up to the Olive Garden and start a restaurant brawl.
Mary J. Blige, my son don't accept them type of phone calls.
I can't come out tonight, my big lighter don't light. I heard you and KC in the background, I'm screaming that the cops come and break up the fight.
All the crack in the drugs.
With Marvin Gaye, put that on the table, let's parlay. With Smokey Robinson and Boosie Lighting Aluminum 4, watch that crack pipe boil. With Richard Pryor, we burned the house down, getting higher. Don't think I'm bluffing, me, Tommy Lee Curtis, Keith Richards, Eddie Kingwitz, and David Ruffin. Rick James was in the kitchen lighting the flame at Mousy's trap with Cuban Gooding Sr. I don't want nobody to know my name. I kept glasses on, it was a damn shame. Losing weight, falling out in big arenas. The same guy used to deal to me, deal to Whitney and Bobby, me, Ike and Tina. Every Saturday, mansions was packed. Hey, Jimmy, you got the smack? Shut up, you don't know how to act.
Yeah, there you go. That was Cool Keith, a.k.a. Dr. Octagon, a.k.a. Dr. Doom, a.k.a. Reverend Tom, a.k.a. about 1,000 other things. Yes. Album number 35 right there on the top 40 of 2001. Yes, Cool Keith and the album Spankmaster. That one came out on June 5th, 2001. Self-produced, because that's what he does. So, you know, if you listened to the top albums countdown of 1991, I talked about how rap and hip-hop had peaked album-wise in 1991, and I still believe that statement. I've pretty much given up on all new rap and hip-hop, but there were two guys that I really thought were great and were still doing interesting things in around this time. Cool Keith was one of them, thanks to my co-worker Brian at CD Warehouse for turning me on to Cool Keith's solo stuff. I was aware of Ultramagnetic MCs back in the 80s, but I had no idea that Cool Keith was from that act and that he was doing these banal records that I love. Best thing about Keith is that he seems to hate all rappers. And so if you hate rap, he does too. He'll rip on all the rappers. Don't worry. And that's what I love about Keith. He's crazy and we love him for it. I even saw him live once. It was really weird. But yeah, Cool Keith and Busta Rhymes were like the only two rappers that I liked at this time. So that is the lone entry into rap and hip hop on this top 40 countdown of 2001. Hope you enjoyed that. I think there's enough references and weird randomness on that track to where you didn't tune out, hopefully, because you probably couldn't believe what you were hearing. I know the first time I heard it, I couldn't believe it myself. So yeah, this next entry kind of runs really well into the last entry in a sense, because I think there's some mutual friends in this party and stuff like that, but it's also just kind of random and a little weird, although the album plays it somewhat straight. So let's get into it here. Coming in at number 34 is a one-off, a one-and-done act called Lovage. And it was basically a project, I believe, started by Dan the Automator, who is a producer, DJ guy. Handsome Boy Modeling School, if you ever heard of that act. He got a handful of people out there to help him with this record, Lovage. Most notably, two different singers, one male and one female. Jennifer Charles is the female vocal, of course. And our friend Mike Patton is the male vocal. This album was called Music to Make Love to Your Old Lady By. Now, there's a lot of interludes between the songs throughout the album, which makes it very tongue-in-cheek. But if you actually play the album without the interludes, it is no longer a comedy record. It is a straight-up sex record. Like, that's the one you want to put on. It's literally called Music to Make Love to Your Old Lady By, because that's what it'll do. Good stuff in that sense. It's a really sexy sounding record. And it, like I said, it works both ways. As sort of an ironic comedy record, but also in a legit Barry White, Roxy Music Hall of Fame kind of way, honestly. So yeah, album number 34 is this, Lovage, Music to Make Love to Your Old Lady By. Here's a nice little teaser for you, or a fluffer, if you will. This is Stroker Ace.
Use a pet and pull my prong. my melancholy baby. And my spine turns to custard. I get goose pimply all over. And I cry.
All right, there you go. Lovage with Stroker Ace right there from the album Music to Make Love to Your Old Lady By. I failed to give the stats there before the song, so here you go real quick. Released on November 6th, 2001, produced by Dan the Automator. And I'd be remiss if I didn't mention the fact that Prince Paul, the great Prince Paul, has some cameos and some of those voiceovers between the songs under the pseudonym Chest Rockwell, and I do appreciate the reference. Also, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention the fact that if you enjoyed that, you should definitely check the record out. But they also cover one of the sexiest songs ever and do it in their own style, Berlin's Sex, Ima. So, yeah, that'll get things going. Okay, album number 33 right here. Moving over to something completely different, back into the punk rock. More traditional punk rock, actually, with Lars Fredriksson and the Bastards. Lars Fredriksson from Rancid. In case you didn't know that, his first solo album, which came out here on Hellcat Records, which is Tim Armstrong's label, who also produced the album. This album came out on March 20th of 2001, and I really dig it. 20 years later, I'm still listening to it. I bought it the day it came out. It's a really fun record. There's some psychobilly stuff going on. There's some hard rock leanings. You know, honestly, if you're a Rancid fan, you'll love it. It just basically sounds like another Rancid album, except with no Tim Armstrong vocals on it. But like I said, Tim's a part of the record, even though this is a Lars solo album. But yeah, the other cool thing is I like the choices of covers on here. He does two cover songs. One is a Billy Bragg song, To Have and To Have Not. And the other one is a song called Leavin' Here, which is a Holland Dozier Holland song, first recorded by Eddie Holland, I believe. But even in the liner notes of the album, Lars said the reason he chose the song was because Motorhead covered it, and he really liked their version of it. So basically, everything from Billy Bragg to Motorhead is represented here on Lars' solo album. But here's an original, one of the first really big songs on the record right here. And it's got that cool psychobilly stand-up bass kind of thing going on with it. And it's just a fun little two-minute song. So here you go, Lars Fredriksson and the Bastards with this one right here, 6 foot five. Yard. On the weekend, right. The way rock and roll ought to be right there. Lars and the Bastards with 6 Foot Five. Hope you enjoyed that. Album number 32 right here is the sophomore album by this British band right here, who I never really gave a fair shot. I never really even listened to this band, honestly, until maybe like the mid to late 2000s. At this time, they were just a band that kids were whipping my ass to special order at the store because all their stuff was import at the time. They didn't have any American distribution. But that would soon change because they were pretty undeniable by this point. Muse, their sophomore album, Origin of Symmetry, came out June 18th, 2001, co-produced by Dave Buttrell and John Leckie. I remember the first time I really got into this band was through Scotty and of Anthrax, believe it or not. He was doing a guest DJ spot on Sirius, and this was definitely like in the mid-2000s, around 06, 07, something like that. And he said, Charlie Benante turned me on to this band. If Radiohead has failed you over the last few years, if you just fell off with them after Kid A, then Muse is your new band. They basically sound like Radiohead with a metal edge. And I dig it. So that's all there needs to be said about early Muse, especially. They would definitely change their style and evolve or devolve, if you will, here and there. So yeah, if you're going to get into this band as well, I just definitely recommend going in, you know, in catalog order, as I usually do with most acts, like 95% of bands. But here you go. Here's a strong track off of Origin of Symmetry. This is Space Dementia. Thank you. All right, Muse right there with Space Dementia from Origin of Symmetry. The other thing that really turned me on to Muse, honestly, and this is probably the way maybe you should approach them if you haven't listened to any of their records, is go pick up their live DVD called Harp. Just watch it, even if you know zero songs off of it. That's how I watched it. And they really won me over. They put on a great show on this particular concert that night. And the songs stand on their own, in my opinion. So there you go. Little Muse right there. Don't play them too often on the show, but I think they're a cool band, you know. Why not? So this is pretty timely. We were out in Vegas, myself and, of course, my better half, Nola. We were out in Vegas on New Year's Eve, specifically to see David Lee Roth and to see Bruce Kulick the night before. New Year's Eve Eve and New Year's Eve. So, unfortunately, the David Lee Roth show did get canceled. You know, at some point, I hope to see Dave before he tosses in the shoes. Man, I really hope so. I feel like he owes me at this point. No, I'm just kidding. But it would be nice. It would be nice. But at least we got to see Bruce Kulick. That was a killer show. And, you know, the last-minute addition of Eric Singer to the band that night. So I was even making the slight joke. It's not a joke, but you know what I'm saying. That COVID played, weirdly enough, a positive and negative part in our two New Year's shows that we had tickets for. One got canceled altogether, and Bruce Kulick's drummer for the night got COVID, and he had to stay home. So Eric was brought in last minute, and the set list changed dramatically, but it was still a cool night in history to see Eric and Bruce play the first show together, like a full set, in probably 25 years, I believe. But that all being said, why am I bringing all this up? I'll tell you why. Because we saw the Bruce Kulick show at a club called Vamped that night. Now, I'm speculating right here, but I have a feeling that DJ Ashba has some sort of stake in the club, or he goes there a lot, because I saw some of his gear hanging up on the wall and in these cases. And during the show that night, I saw DJ Ashba walking around a handful of times. And DJ Ashba was the lead guitarist in this band that comes in at number 31 here on the top 40 albums of 2001. Beautiful Creatures with their self-titled debut album. I remember picking this up when it came out. I really enjoyed it then, and I still enjoy the record. Also of note, speaking of cool drummers, the great Glenn Sobel, currently of the Alice Cooper Band, plays drums on this album as well. That had to be one of his first gigs, I would think. But yeah, officially right here, the Beautiful Creatures album was released on August 16th of 2001, produced by Sean Bevan, who I think is mostly known for producing metal bands, industrial metal bands and stuff like that. But that all being said, it's a great sound and rock album. It's got a great mix in the whole thing. I never thought I'd own another record under another band name with Joe Lestay singing lead vocals. You Bang Tango fans know what I'm talking about. So that's really cool. Like I said, it's just a fun record, little throwback vibe. Sunset Strip hard rock with some melodic stuff going on. And right here, this is easily one of my favorite songs of 2001 right here. And it screams 2001, but at the same time, it screams 80s Sunset Strip at the same time. So here you go. Can't think of a better way to close off the show here tonight than with this song right here, Wasted.
Yeah!
All right, nice little catchy song to end the night right there. That was Wasted by Beautiful Creatures, album number 31 of the top 40 of 2001. So you know what that means. The show is over for the night, but please join me, won't you? The next episode will be out like tomorrow or the day after. We're going to get this top 40 done within the span of a week so we can finally move on to my big announcement. So until then, stay tuned for my better half, Nola, with the plugs and the best damn outro song in all the podcasting business. Take it away, Nola, and Happy New Year!
We would like to thank you for taking the time to listen to the show today. You can reach us on Facebook or Twitter. We love getting messages and always do our best to respond. Every time you share our show, our new kittens Ruby and Ripley get a treat. We're on Twitter at RockStrikes10, and the direct email is RockStrikes10@gmail.com. When you search for us, the number 10 is always spelled out. If you would like to support our show financially, we do have Rock Strikes 10 shirts for sale. For $20, we will ship you out a high-quality, soft-as-heck, next-level branded shirt and a button. Send us an email or direct message for more details or to order. Please help us spread the word about this show and all of our other quality shows by listening, liking, subscribing, and sharing. Our official website is cnjradio.com. You can visit this site for all episodes of Rock Strikes 10 going back all the way to episode number 1. While you're on cnjradio.com, check out these other quality shows. The Wrestling House Show, a pro wrestling podcast unlike any other. The Synaptic Empire Audio Transmissions, hosted by Randy Brown, a true alternative. The Last Theater, starring Chris, where cinema's trash is treated like treasure. Talking Rock, with Joey, and the great Mark Streakle of Talking Metal. And the I Am Vinyl podcast with Pete LaRussa and occasionally Joey. Last but not least, we would like to give an extra special thanks to the great Pete LaRussa and the band Spacebeard for the best outro song in the business. Go to facebook.com/spacebeardband to purchase their music and make sure to tell them that Rock Strikes 10 sent you. We hope you tune into the next show. Until then, have fun.
Post game show is brought to you by Christ, I can't find it. The hell with it.